You can go ahead and open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to continue on with our series, Joy That Lasts. And if we're living for Christ, He will give us joy that lasts. Amen? The hard times and everything else. Paul wrote the book of Philippians while he was in prison. And he spoke about joy a lot. This was a church who was persecuted, who needed to be encouraged in the Lord, and yet they had joy in serving God because they found the real Jesus. Well, at this point, we're going to see that things were going pretty well at Philippi Worship Center, where their church was. Things were going pretty good. Pastor Paul started the church, and at some point he left. And he's writing a letter to that church that he started. He was the church planter writing the letter to the church to encourage his church and to check up on them. As way of review, the church was in the city of Philippi. The church began in A.D. 51. Philippi was named after Philip of Macedon, who was Alexander the Great's dad. So there was a lot of history here in this city. You've heard of Alexander the Great, right? This city was named after his father. It's in northern Greece today. It's surrounded by mountains. It's close to the sea. Philippi was really the gateway to the east. Philippi was the city that the people would come from the east to get to Europe, to get to Rome. They would go through Philippi along the major highway. Philippi was a major industrial center, if you will, a cultural center, a commerce center. Because the ships would come and trade, there was a lot of business, a lot of things were happening in this city. People would come from the east, come from the west, and do a lot of business there. It was a major, major center of commerce in that area. We're privileged to see the beginning of this church in the book of Acts. If you remember from Acts 16, we shared just a few things that the book of Acts tells us about the city. Basically, the first converts. If you remember, Paul was on his way to go reach out to Asia, and God stopped him and called him to go the other way. And called him to go to Philippi. So he heard the voice of God, went to Philippi. As he enters the city, he finds some people worshiping the Lord outside. One was Lydia. She was a lady who sold purple cloth, a businesswoman. They came. They were worshiping God, but they didn't know about Jesus. They shared Jesus, and they all received Christ right there that day. First convert in this church was Lydia. Then, and her household after that, then we see there was a demonically possessed slave girl who was set free by Paul. Do you remember that story? She was set free. She was delivered, became another member of the church. Her owners were hacked off because this girl, while she was possessed, had the ability to tell the future. So they get Paul arrested. The next converts we see was a jailer. The prison guard, if you will, who was guarding Paul. That a spectacular thing happened. There was an earthquake. The prison doors flew open. The jailer thought, I'm dead, because everybody escaped. Paul yells out, don't kill yourself. We're all still here. And the jailer came around and he saw, he knew this was a God thing. For one, they didn't escape. And for another, it was definitely a God thing. His response to them was, sirs, what must I do to be saved? The jailer gives his heart to the Lord, takes Paul and Silas out. They stay at his house. They eat. The jailer and his whole household gets baptized. And near daybreak, they say, come on, guys, I'm going to get in trouble. Let's go back to the jail. So they go back to the jail and they get let out later on that day. So we see the first converts in this church was Lydia, the demon-possessed girl, and the jailer and his family. So this church was very dear to Paul's heart. Amen? It was very dear to Paul's heart. So just to review chapter 1, because it's last week we had the missions convention. We gave the opening in 1 through 11. All these messages are on the website, by the way, if you want to download them. Then we preached the message about being a superhero. Remember? that we need to preach the gospel. The main gist was that was spreading the gospel is preeminent. That it is within our power through Christ to rescue those from hell. And that's what God's called us to do. Remember, we showed Superman, Spider-Man not using their powers with a video clip. And in the same way, God's called us to rescue people. Rescue them from an eternal damnation, actually. Then 2 weeks ago, part three, we looked at the four marks of a soldier of heaven. If you remember that message, how Paul called the church to be united, right? To go forth in these last days as a military soldiers together, as an army to fight against the devil. Well, today we're going to look at chapter 2 and see where the church is at. As I said, things were going well at Philippi Worship Center. So let's look at verse 1. Paul says this. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It says, "Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from His love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate?" Well, let me ask this question. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Anybody want to take a shot at that answer today? Yes. Is there any comfort from His love? Yes. Any fellowship together in the Spirit as we come together? Yeah, right? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? When the Lord saves you, does He change your heart? Yes. Yes, He does. He changes your heart. Thank the Lord. So the answer to all of these questions in verse 1 is a resounding yes. Things were going well at Philippi Worship Center. They were going well. Paul said they received encouragement from belonging to Christ. Here's a way we can word that sounds more familiar to us. They experienced salvation. They were saved. Praise the Lord. The people in the church were saved. Have you received comfort from Christ? God was at work in their lives. But there were times when this church, again, facing persecution, needed comfort. God showed up and gave them comfort and helped them to get through what they needed to get through. God was alive and at work in their lives. Praise the Lord. A church where people are saved, a church where God is at work, they're good things, right? They're good things. The next part, how about fellowshipping together in the Spirit? They enjoyed coming together. Isn't that a good thing? We should enjoy coming together. They were tender-hearted and compassionate. God softened their heart. How are we doing on that list? I think we've done well as well. Again, we're in a similar situation as Philippi. We're a church plant. We're a few years old. I think Paul's words to this new church is just as valid for us as it was for them so many years ago. So let's look at this list. Okay? Have we received encouragement? We've already said yes. Those of us today who would say, "I've received Christ as my Savior," can I see your hand this morning? Okay. How about, has God ever worked in your life and gave you comfort? At any point. Can I see that He's made a difference in your life? Good. So see, what the first thing was, have you experienced salvation, says whether or not we're forgiven. The second part, have you received comfort, meaning, is it more than a religion? Oh yeah, because Jesus Himself showed up in my life. How about fellowshipping together? Do we like that? I think we do well at fellowship, right? We do, man. Our dinners are fantastic. May we have our anniversary dinner for 3 years. May 17th, I think. Wow. Can you believe it? It's been that long? And we enjoy coming together. I have pictures of my daughter. I'll have to show them. Just because, as you know, as a parent, you judge time by how much your children has changed in photographs. Isn't it true? And there's a picture of my daughter trying to paint the kitchen cabinet, that ugly brown back there. It's the only paint we had. We were trying to hide it the night before we opened. First service was May 21st. May 20th, we were here. Bobby was here. We were here. The alarm guy was installing the alarm. He was here till midnight or something. We were painting for a long time. There's a picture of my daughter this high in the kitchen painting the cabinet. And she looked so different 3 years ago. We enjoy coming together and fellowshipping together. We're going to rejoice that night. Are our hearts tender and compassionate? I would hope that they are. I would hope that our hearts are soft to what God wants us to do. I would say things are going well at our church. Things are going well. But here's the thing with Philippi, as we're going to read, they were at a crossroads. They were at a crossroads. After the church was born, they had to choose which road they would continue upon. They would either follow the heart of God, or they would begin to follow the hearts of man, as we're going to see in verse 2 through 4. You understand, this church, with a little bit of time behind them, they had to choose where they were going to go. Paul starts out, there's some good things about you guys. There's at least these four things that you guys do well. But you're at a crossroads. There's a fork in the road that's coming up, and you need to decide either we're going to follow the heart of God, or we're going to follow the heart of man, our own hearts, our own ways. Which road is easier? The heart of man, isn't it? In fact, the heart of God, you might be able to illustrate as an uphill battle. It's rocky, it's probably not paved real well. Jesus said it like this, wide is the road that goes to hell, narrow is the way that goes to God. Many churches choose the nice, paved, even downhill slope. Church does well, they're coming up to a fork in the road, and somehow they get away from the core things that made them strong. The core things that made them blessable by God. They get away from those things and they begin to choose their own way. Instead of hearing for the voice of God, they listen to their own voice of reason. Instead of being selfless, they become selfish. And they begin to take the easy grade down. The road that's nice and wide. And everybody loves it. Instead of choosing the way to God. They were at a crossroads. Let's read Paul's words here today. Verse 2 through 4. Well, let's just start at verse 2. Again, are you all these things? Yes, you are. The answer is yes. Then verse 2. Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Verse 3. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of yourselves or thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others. They needed to do a few things here today. The first one he says is agree wholeheartedly. Agree wholeheartedly. The King James and New King James says to be like-minded. Here's the deal. When we receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes within us, right? Right? Right. He comes within us. He begins working within our hearts. That means we should not be argumentative, should we? Paul tells them to agree wholeheartedly. I think the gist is here that at this crossroads, they were coming up to a time where they could begin arguing with each other. Because they can begin following their own hearts instead of following the call of the Holy Spirit. He says, agree wholeheartedly with each other. Now, does that mean that we agree on everything? No. But what it means is we know the difference between needing to agree on every detail and just letting some things go that don't matter. Some things are so important that we will hold on to, we will take bullets for. Remember, I spoke on our core values a little while back and how there are things we'll take bullets for, that I'll take a bullet for. Things like we value the Word of God. We will not be a church that holds up anything else as equal to the Word of God. My words aren't equal with the Word of God, right? There's no other book, there's nothing else. What changes people? The Word of God. Does worship time change people? Yeah, it can, but primarily it's the Word of God that changes people. That's what we hold to. I don't know if it's really a good thing that if we have services where we never preach. I don't know that that's a good thing. I think the Word of God is that important. We value that. What else do we value? The presence of God. That God changes lives. We don't just read the Word, but we know that God wants to work in our hearts. We know He speaks through people, doesn't He? We know that. We know He speaks to us. We know that He wants us to surrender everything to Him and spend time in His presence. We value that as a church. We value people. We love people. We love people. Why? Because Jesus loves people, doesn't He? Amen. We value being creative and innovative. I don't think as a church we should do the same old thing all the time just because everybody else does the same old thing, or even just because we've done it before. You know? We should be different. Times change. Our methods should change in ministry, but our message should never change. The message is the same message that should be proclaimed at every church in America for 2,000 years. May we never have a different message, but sometimes we do things in a different way to proclaim that message. That's a value. There's things that are important. But this church was beginning to argue over stuff that wasn't important. How many churches actually have fights and stuff about the color of a wall? Right? You see what happens when a church is brand new, nobody argues about the paint. Nobody argues about the carpet. But as the church ages, after the church is there for a while, we get comfortable, then we can begin to argue about stuff that doesn't matter anymore. Am I right? If you have a brand new church, we're happy for everything God gives us. Every person that walks in, thank the Lord we have a visitor today. Let's love on them. Right? Whatever we have, thank the Lord for these chairs somebody gave us. Our first chairs were terrible, but thank the Lord we weren't sitting on the floor. We're grateful. As time goes on, all of a sudden we're not grateful anymore. Lord, we don't want those people you sent because they're weird. And we forget, now maybe we're the weird ones. But we don't want them, Lord. Give us other people. Give us classier people. Because we've moved on. Lord, we don't want this. We want that. Or we'll fist fight over colors of stuff, chairs, whatever. We'll argue over stuff that doesn't matter. Paul says, you make sure you agree wholeheartedly. If the Holy Spirit is within you, you need to care about what God cares about. Stuff that doesn't matter, guess what? It doesn't matter. Right? It doesn't matter. We don't need to fight over stuff. But you understand, as they were there for a while, they had the potential to begin fighting. He says, agree wholeheartedly to be like-minded. Not that everything is, not that we agree on everything, but listen, we love each other. And as the Bible says, love covers a multitude of sins. We love one another. It said in verse 2 as well, love one another. Work together with one mind and purpose. One mind and purpose. King James says it is this, one mind and one accord. Does that phrase sound familiar to anybody? To be in one mind and one accord? I believe that's Acts chapter 2, right? To be in one mind and one accord. The church that was starting out, the very first church ever, Jerusalem, Assembly of God, right? No, it wasn't that, but whatever. They were coming together. They were seeking God, and they were in one mind and one accord. They were pressing into God through prayer, and they said, Lord, much like Jesus, not my will, but your will be done. We just want more of you, Jesus. Maybe they were praying something like this. Jesus, you told us to seek you, to stay in Jerusalem until we receive power to witness. Oh, we need your power. We need to witness. In one mind and one accord. Not 50 different minds, one mind and one accord. You understand, if we have 40 people here today, how many opinions do we have about how church should go? We probably have at least 120 opinions, because everybody's got at least three, right? Right? We need to pray that the Lord will bring us together in one mind and one accord. They were at a crossroads. Verse 3, don't be selfish. Don't be selfish. You see, their actions and their attitudes were beginning to cause discord in the church. They weren't doing things for pure motives. They began to have selfish motives. They began to serve to say, look how awesome I am. Look how good I am. What a terrible place to be as a church. What a terrible place. They were selfish. They had conceit. Here's the problem with that, although it's bad in itself. When a group of people get together and begin being selfish and have conceit, and they try to impress others, what happens? They look down on other people, don't they? Can you try to lift up yourself without stepping on somebody else? You can't. You have to step on the back or head of somebody else to say, look how good I am. What a horrible thing in this church. This church, a brand new church, was now at a place where they were getting comfortable. They were at a place where they began to love themselves, began to be selfish, began to look down on others. They were wanting to impress others. They were desiring fame and fortune. They wanted to look good. Moving on, it says, be humble. Be humble. Who will lift us up? The Bible says the Lord will. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He will lift us up. Seek Him. Be humble. Because who are we, honestly? We're sinners saved by grace, right? Aren't we? We're sinners saved by grace. That God has saved us, but we're not at a place where we should look down on other people. He goes on and says, think of others as better than yourselves. Verse 4, don't look out only for your own interests. Take an interest in others too. The things that you want aren't the most important things in the world. Am I right? How about the things that I want, my interests? Are they the most important things in the world? No, I'll bet you they don't even begin to touch God's list of the top 100 things He's doing today in the world, does it? If you're familiar with professional sports at all, you see athletes who have always been, throughout their whole lives, lifted up and told how awesome they were. From being a little leaguer who could hit a ball, you're awesome, little Johnny. You're the best one ever. As he grows up, he can smack home runs over the fence because he has talents. And he's told, that's okay, you're awesome. What if he starts to fail English class? Well, the pressure is put on the teacher to not fail him so he gets kicked off the team, because we need him on the team. Because he can get by and not do his homework, and that's okay, because we need him for a championship, right? How about in college? Same kind of thing. You're okay. What if the kid gets arrested for something? Let's cover it up. Because he's going to the NFL. We don't need, like, trouble behind his name. The draft is coming up. Hide it. Hush it up. Hush it up. People who have been babied and pampered all their life, and all they do is have this very high level of who they are, of how good they are. I'm God's gift to the football field. Right? T.O., right? Allen Iverson, perhaps. As soon as I get the ball, I'm going to shoot it. You don't need a team. Team! There's no I in team. That's why I don't like team. I. Right? This was happening in the church. This can happen in the church. How horrible that is. This brand new church was at a crossroads where they had to decide, is it about me or is it about God? Paul says, humble yourselves, elevate others as better than yourselves. Think about other people. Verse 4. Don't look out only for your own interest. Again, take an interest in others. Other people's thoughts are important as well. Verse 5, which we're going to really dig into next week. Who's our example? Can somebody tell me? Jesus. Have the same attitude that Jesus had. This church was at a crossroads. They had to choose. And I think, to be honest with you, all those verses boiled down to our way or God's way. If you've been waiting for your blanks, here they are this morning. We are at a crossroads. We're in the same situation, aren't we? New church, couple years old, getting comfortable, Right? We kind of have this thing down. We know what we're doing. We do it pretty well. We're at a crossroads. And I think we must choose which road we're going to embark upon. Think about that. We have a decision to make today as a church. What are we going to do? We're a few years old. I don't think we're really that much different than Philippi Worship Center, except Landisville isn't quite as big as Philippi. We don't have this big commerce, you know, big metropolis here. But nonetheless, we're in the same position. What are our choices? The first one, to follow the hearts of man or the heart of God. To follow the hearts of man or the heart of God. What are we going to do today? What are we going to do? The next decision, which basically as we go through these decisions, they're really the same question worded differently. Are we going to be a worthless center or a worship center? Do you get that? Are we going to be worthless? Are we going to be a place of worship that people come and they find Christ and our hearts are for God? You understand, we have to make a decision today. We're at this place. What are we going to do? Are we going to be filled with the pride of man or the power of God? The pride of man or the power of God? You understand they don't exist simultaneously. If we want the power of God, we need to humble ourselves and let go of our pride, don't we? Sometimes we're afraid to lift our hands in worship because we're afraid of what somebody's going to look at. We're afraid somebody might think we're crazy. We're afraid to press into God because somebody might think we're a religious person. We need to press into God, right? Honestly, seriously. As your pastor, I'm telling you, we need to press in to God. We need to press in to the power of God. We need to lay down our pride. And I've shared this story before. The first time I knew the Lord was calling me to lift my hands in worship and surrender, and I was a coward to do that. And the Lord dealt with me. And finally, the last song, I went, okay, Lord. And to be honest with you, I felt such a release because I felt the Lord saying, basically something like, if I wasn't willing to lift up my hands to Him and just say I love Him, how would I be willing to do anything else for Him in my life? That was the first step in His plan for my life. If I'm in a room where everybody loves God, plus I'm in the back row and nobody can see me anyway, and I'm afraid to just say, Lord, I love You, how am I going to tell the Lord I love Him when I'm in the middle of the mall? Right? Around people. Right? How am I going to stand for Christ on the work site if I can't stand for Christ in a church at the back row when nobody's looking at me? I had to lay down my pride. Will this church be a place that's filled with pride or the power of God? They won't exist together. Are we going to be supporting a social club or spreading the gospel? So many churches turn into social clubs, don't they? You just do potluck dinners and hang out. Or are we going to spread the gospel? A few weeks ago, we looked at the fact that Paul already laid down that spreading the gospel is preeminent. It is the thing we're supposed to do. We're supposed to live for Him and tell somebody else about Him. That's it. That's what we're supposed to do. Will we do that as a church, or will we just have social stuff? What are we going to do? Are we going to be inward focused or outward focused? Meaning, are we going to focus upon what I want, my desires, my wants, my likes, my friends? Or are we going to focus upon what God wants, God's desires, God's likes, and who God loves? Everyone. Right? We're at that place. Are we going to... We already did that one. Are we going to provide recreation? Or are we going to provide rest for souls? What are we going to do as a church? Are we going to focus on the temporal or on the eternal? Things that matter forever or just meeting needs today? What are we going to do? You understand, some churches end up just having a soup kitchen feeding people canned goods that come by, which is fine, but they're not telling anybody about Jesus. Nobody's ever getting saved, and the people you feed soup to burn in hell ultimately. That's not good, is it? What do we care about as a church, the eternal or the temporal? Do we want our church to become a good thing or a God thing? A good thing or a God thing? Getting together can be a good thing, but is it a God thing? Is it what God wants for this place, for those of us in this room today? Is it a God thing? That's our question. Are we going to be selfish or selfless? What are we going to be? Are we going to be a church characterized by strife or by unity? Are we going to argue and fight over little things, or are we going to be unified in one mind and one accord, like the early church? Are we going to have love and the mind of ourselves, or are we going to have love and the mind of Christ? What is it going to be? Lastly, to put it very clearly, will it be about us, or is it about Him? Is it about us, or is it about Him? My prayer is that it will always be about Him. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Here's how this works. If it's about us, we come out whenever we want to come out. We help whenever we want to help. Right? We could commit, I'll sign up, I'll be there. Yeah, whatever. Because it's more about me than it is about Him. Right? But when it's really about Him, listen, we become a church that changes the world. Do you see that? Do you see that? To be honest with you, I think it's very rare for a church to come together for a long period of time and have it always be about the Lord. It's rare. That it's always about Him. That when we come together, we throw down our pride, we throw down our own dreams, and we say, God, it's for You. Help us. If a goal within my heart isn't from You, take it out. We want Your thoughts. We want Your will. You know why? Because I think we kind of end up stop praying. We stop seeking God, and we just get comfortable. We get comfortable. I think this word from Paul for Philippi is a word for us today. What are you going to do? Do we choose God or do we choose us? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? If you're here today and you choose God and you say, this message is kind of disturbing because I want the power of God, not a room full of prideful fools that are just doing their own thing. I want a church where people get saved and find rest for their souls and not recreational stuff. Whatever, it's fine. But we want a God thing and not a good thing. If that's you today, stand with me. We're going to pray and we're going to ask the Lord to confirm within our hearts His goal for our church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is calling us today. He's calling us to wake up. As we move on through this year, it can be good, or it can be God. I'd rather have it be God. But you know, if it's going to be a God thing, it's going to cost you today. One of the things off the top, it's going to cost you your pride. You're going to have to lay down the pride. The truth is, you're not that important. The truth is, to be honest with you, I'm not that important. Newsflash to me, I'm not that important. God is important. And it's a privilege to serve Him. Isn't it? It's a privilege to serve Him. None of us are so important that God can't move on without us. We serve Him because it's a privilege. We need to lay down our pride and we need to lay down our love of self and say, I need the love of Christ. What do I care if people think I'm crazy? Truth is, people already think you're crazy. Stop caring whether or not they think so. They just do. Accept it. It says in the Bible that we're a peculiar people. A little bit strange. Why? Because you're not from here. You're from there. Our citizenship is in heaven. We care about different things than the world cares about. At some point we have to decide we don't care if they know that we care about different things than they care about. God isn't calling us to be like a group of Navy SEALs that nobody can see. He's calling us to make a difference. Take off the camouflage. Right? I pray to be a God, that our church would be a God thing. You know what? That's going to save people. As people go by, there's something different here. If we're not a God thing, then there's nothing different here. The stuff that happens in here ought to be more spiritual than the stuff that happens at the Wawa. Right? It's not just coffee and donuts and hugs. That happens at Wawa. It's not Starbucks. It's not that. It's church. Amen? It's God. It's God. It's true. And we are honestly at the place, seriously, where we could either walk up with the Lord and take the next step as a church, or we could just fall apart and coast downhill. We have some needs as a church. We have some needs. You might not even grasp how important we are and at what such a fork in the road that's coming up that we need to maneuver this thing. Okay? We do. Financially, man, we need the Lord to continue to bless our church and move forward. You might not even know. We need a kids' room bad. Real bad. We need a kids' room real bad. Or we need to move and get in another facility real bad because we're outgrowing this place. And our church will stop growing if we don't do something. That's a stressful thing. You can pray for me with stress over that. I'm real good with stress, but that's a big one. I tell our board, I don't know about this. This is a big thing. We need to do something. And what, nobody's going to give us a trailer, I don't think. It's going to probably cost us thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. But we need to take a step as a church. Amen? We need to. So this is a big thing where my dreams don't really matter. We need God's dreams. The way we punch the books and the way Rich takes his time and balances the checkbook and it has our balance sheet, it's good, it's important, but we need to say, God, we need you to give us the big balance sheet. Help us in faith to do the right thing with the funds you gave us and bless us, Lord. We pray because we have to move forward, you understand? We have to. We have to, or else we're going to die or we're just going to be a cool little club. If we're going to change destinies, we need to be here. We need to lay down our pride. We need to seek God. We need to love others more than we love ourselves. We need to love Jesus more than we love ourselves. If that's you today, again, let's just see a show of hands if you say, I want God's thing and not my thing. Amen. That we want God's thing here. I've said this before. I want to see alcoholics set free in our church. I want to see drug addicts set free. I want to see kids who get beat by their dads, that they stop getting beat because their dad finds Jesus. Seriously. Seriously, that's my heart. I want to see God touch people. I want to see our kids, those of us who have children, seriously, I want to see them go to heaven. I want to see your kids and all of our kids here, especially the children that we have that God's entrusted us to. I want to see them go to heaven. If I'm a terrible dad, my daughter will reject Christ because of me. I want to see my kid go to heaven. I want to see your kid go to heaven. I want to be a better dad. Honestly. I want to be a better husband. We need to pray for God's way to work in our lives. I want you to be better. I want God to change you. I want a God thing. If not, we could just go fishing. But I want a God thing because it's that important. Let's pray together and let's ask God to not let us go down the bad road, but for Him to help us to take the road that it's an incline and it's rocky, but with His help we will climb it. The road that's scary, where we say we don't know what's around the bend. The road where we say, Lord, we don't have the finances to do this. We don't have the means to take this next step, but we trust that You'll provide that road. The road that says, Lord, we will give to You even though we're not sure if it makes sense with our checkbook. That road. Right? The road that says we will invite our friends even if they think we're crazy. We care about their souls for eternity. That road. That road. Let's pray. Let's lift up our hands today and worship. Can we do that? Let's lay down our pride today. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love You today, Lord. Lord, we love You, O God. Hallelujah. Lord, as we face this critical fork in the road as a church, Lord, I pray, God, that we would choose the God way and not just the way that seems good to us, but we know will take us away from You. Lord, we choose to be selfless instead of selfish. Lord, we want this place to be a place of worship and prayer, Lord, not a place of just recreation and whatever. God, we want to honor You in our church, in our own homes, life, in our own home lives, Lord, personally. We want to honor You in the living rooms of everyone who calls this church home. I pray that You're honored. In the bedrooms of everyone who calls this church home, I pray that You're honored. On the computers of everyone who calls this church home, I pray that You're honored, O God. That You would work in us, fall fresh upon us, give us a hunger for prayer and unity, Lord, that we would love You more than we love ourselves, and we would be in one mind and one accord to hear from You. We pray. Help us to care about what You care about. And I pray that You would help us to make the sacrifices in our own schedules. Help us, Lord, to make sacrifices in other places so that we can honor You. At home and at church, we pray. Bless us as a church. I pray this next year will be a year of growth. And Lord, about our children's room that we so desperately need, Lord, I honestly don't know what You're going to do. Provide, Lord, we pray. Financially provide. Have somebody drop off a building. Whatever, Lord, we need Your will to be done. Help us, Jesus. We trust You. We live for You and we want to proclaim You powerfully through the rest of 2009 and forward until You return. May we always choose God and not us. We pray. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.